This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Despite the growing body of evidence that proves that children who play and learn outside are healthier, happier, and smarter, the average child today in America spends just 4 to 7 minutes playing outside on any given day. Research suggests that the lack of exposure to the great outdoors can lead to a number of maladies, from obesity and vitamin deficiency to ADHD, anxiety, and depression. Insufficient time spent in the natural world is also linked to weakened ecological literacy and environmental stewardship. While not a medical diagnosis, the phrase nature deficit disorder has been used to describe the consequences of human alienation from nature. What factors contribute to the epidemic of inactivity affecting children today? And what should be done to reverse this deficiency? How parents and caregivers provide a safe and fulfilling outdoor experience for their children is critical. And adults also suffer from nature deficit disorder. Don't you feel it missing from your own life? Talk about how you feel when you get out of the city, you get outside. Do you see a change in your children when you bring them with you? What's surprising you about that? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. Joining us to talk about this is we've got Richard Louvre. He is the co-founder of the Children and Nature Network. He's the author of the book, Last Child in the Woods, Saving Our Children from Nature Deficit Disorder. Also with us is Jennifer Bristol, coordinator with the Texas Children in Nature through the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department, and Todd Beasley. He is the director of programs for the San Antonio Botanical Garden. Welcome, all of you. It's great to have you here.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Thank you.
Richard Louvre, let me ask you, when did you come up with this term, nature deficit disorder? How did you come up with it?
I think that my wife suggested it, actually. I was working on the book, and I was seeing all reporting on all of the research that was really suggesting that so many of these problems today with kids are connected to the amount of time they spend outdoors, particularly in nature. I wouldn't say, as your introduction suggested, that lack of nature causes attention deficit disorder and all the other maladies, but it's certainly correlated with those. And when I wrote Last Child in the Woods, there were maybe 20 studies that showed that correlation, and now there's well over 500 studies available in abstract form on the Children Nature Network website. So the research is really much roomed on this issue.
Isn't this something that people have been carping about since Teddy Roosevelt or Thoreau, saying that people need to spend more time outside?
Yeah, and I like to say that there's nothing new in, on this topic that I've written in these books, now three books on it. Even how we design cities, for instance. Frederick Law Olmsted designed Central Park because the industrialists wanted more productive workers in New York. He knew that. They knew that. They didn't have a stack of studies. So this, that was long ago. So this isn't a new issue. It is, in the industrial age, agriculture, we've been moving away from daily experiences with natural, with the natural world for quite some time. What's happened, though, is in the last several decades, that pace of that disconnection has really increased, particularly for kids, and there are a lot of reasons for that. Fear of strangers by their parents, bad urban design, electronics dominating our lives, all of our lives. So there are a lot of reasons for that. But one of the things that's happening in Texas, which, by the way, is, I think is one of the epicenters in the country of the Children and Nature movement, is that there is a movement that has emerged. In San Antonio and Austin are a couple of the cities that are really leading the way.
How is Texas the epicenter of this movement? What are you seeing?
Well, well, you have the Texas Children and Nature organization that Jennifer Bristol, of course, is directing. You have people like Nancy Herron and Steve Pont, Dr. Steve Pont, who's an MD, a pediatrician, who really takes this seriously. San Antonio is very quickly becoming a nature play, kind of a mecca, through the botanical gardens there, the new family nature play areas, the DSOM, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing the name right, Children's Museums, Nature Play Areas, the Natural History Museums focus on land stewardship education, the zoo, opening the largest nature preschool in the country, and Austin is leading the way with municipal government engagement with the city's Connecting Children and Nature initiative, which was launched with the City of Austin's Children's Outdoor Bill of Rights. And it has a new partnership, by the way, between the city and the school district on green school parks. And it's one of the seven cities that was selected by the National League of Cities and the Children and Nature Network in our partnership to help mayors and other municipal figures figure out how to create nature-rich cities and for children and families.
Jennifer Bristol, we heard from Richard Louv here that you are the coordinator of the Texas Children in Nature through the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department. Can you give us a quick overview of that?
Absolutely. And Rich did a wonderful job with focusing on many of the areas that we are engaged in. We have 375 partner organizations around the state that are all dedicated to solving nature deficit disorder, and they come at that in many different ways. They could be in the health field, the conservation field, education realm, even the faith communities. So we look at it, from a very organic kind of perspective to engage all levels of a community to solve this problem. One of the things that we are really focusing on we formed a partnership with the Department of State Health Services to look at child care centers and help foster that connection with nature from year zero. And it's part of their Preventing Obesity by Design. And so we're working with them, bringing our partners together to say, child care centers are where so many of our children pass through at that early age. Let's start building that connection with nature there and that path to stewardship, but also then focusing on how are we using active play and getting outdoors as a mechanism to help prevent a lifelong battle with obesity and all of the other health-related issues that come with that. So we work, hand in hand with, as I mentioned, a vast variety of different partners. And the cool thing I like about it is that everybody who comes to the movement comes for their own reasons. And because of that, then they come with their own solutions as well. There's no one way to fix this problem. It takes all of us.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to hear about San Antonio Botanical Garden, what they're doing to deal with the nature deficit that we're seeing in children and in adults. We want to hear from you. We've got some callers we'll be taking also when we come back. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Nature deficit disorder. It's a phrase coined by Richard Louv in his 2005 book, The Last Child in the Woods, meaning that human beings, especially children, are spending less time outdoors, and this can result in a wide range of behavioral problems. But it's not a clinical diagnosis. This is just sort of an observation, and it's a way to kind of put a label on what we're seeing all around us. And we've got Richard Louv with us here on the line. Also, Jennifer Bristol, she's with the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department. They have a Texas Children in Nature activity. And with us also is Todd Beasley, Director of Programs for the San Antonio Botanical Gardens. And Todd, tell us what is happening at the San Antonio Botanical Gardens dealing with this nature deficit disorder.
Well, I think what's important for us to note that the Botanical Garden in San Antonio is, by American Public Garden Association standards, one of the large botanical gardens in the country. And we're about to increase our size by 8 acres. And with that 8 acres, as we're developing and creating a state-of-the-art family adventure garden and culinary area that's going to have an outdoor teaching kitchen, The Family Adventure Garden is going to be phenomenal in that there are, it's basically 6 acres of the story of water in Texas, the nature play areas, as well as connecting students to ecology. So it's going to be a very structured environment for people to have a, I guess, a safe place to experience nature, but have unstructured play activities going on in the garden. And that's part of a trend that's going on around the country right now. And we're not going to be the same as the other children's gardens that are opening up around the country. We're going to be unique in that it's going to really focus on Texas and Texas ecology, the story of water, nature play, culinary aspects, and fitness. And so it's going to kind of appeal to a wider audience than what we're already seeing in the botanical garden itself. So the I think the opportunities for people to come, specifically those that are within the San Antonio proper that don't have accessibility to places like Government Canyon, Texas Parks and Wildlife areas that are outside the city, I think this is a wonderful opportunity for people to have a nice, safe environment to be immersed and introduced to nature if they don't have accessibility to other areas. And so we're really looking forward to this opening up in October.
Our phone lines are open. The number is 210-614-8980 as we talk about nature deficit disorder, getting our kids to go outside and play and get in touch with nature. Camilla is on the line. And Camilla, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, I have a couple of things to say about this, because we ran a bed and breakfast up until just a few years ago on our ranch in Bull Verde. And we had situations where we had children that would refuse to come outside because they saw a bug. I would arrange hikes and the parents would go with me, but the kids would stay home and they'd say, oh, they'd rather play video games. And but the worst was a child, you know, we'd have our guests gather their own eggs for their breakfast. And a child stood in front of the nesting boxes and said, why did you put all these eggs in here? No idea where eggs came from. And I think that possibly video games, I mean, we're beginning to learn now that they're addictive. And, you know, when you're addicted to sugar, apples taste terrible. And I think when you're addicted to video games, the outside world is sweaty and has bugs and it's a lot of work. You have to walk, and it's harder.
All right, Camilla, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. So let me get Richard Loeb's reaction to that. What is your reaction?
Well, I've heard stories like that for years now. The epigram at the beginning of Last Child in the Woods is a boy I met many years ago who said the reason he preferred playing indoors is because that's where all the electrical outlets are. I always tried hard not to demonize electronics or video games. It's certainly part of the reason that this is happening. But one of the reasons I try not to demonize them is anytime adults demonize anything, that's exactly what kids want to do more of. So it's a practical approach, too. But there's also the parental fear of strangers. That's just grown exponentially in the last few decades. And it's largely due. I'm a journalist. I was a columnist for a newspaper for a long time. And journalists have to own some of this, electronic media. All you have to do is watch Fox or CNN on any year that Trump isn't president, and you'll see how they take a handful of terrible crimes against children and repeat them over and over and over again until we think there are thousands of those on our own block. And so it's, you know, we're, in a sense, we're conditioning ourselves to live in this state of fear. So a generation of kids is growing up in essentially protective house arrest. So no wonder that, that they are to a degree afraid of the outdoors. And this is happening at the same time that schools are canceling recess. School district after school district has either cut back on recess or eliminated it. So, education has been sending this message as well.
Another caller, John is on the line. John, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yeah, basically I was calling, I've been hearing about the nature thing and what have you. I have twins that are 5, and I play disc golf with them. And it's kind of a really neat experience because I've been taking them since they were about three. First off, you got to walk the whole thing. Second, a lot of these courses are out are in the middle of town or around town, and they're right in the smack middle of nature. It might be in the middle of a neighborhood or what have you, but you know there's a part that hasn't been technically cleared or what have you. So you walk through it, throwing discs, playing, and it's just been awesome. A, they're out there. B, they're interacting. C, we're playing a sport together. And on top of all that, it's just probably one of the favorite things I can do with those guys, and it's free. All I got to do is buy a disc and walk out and play.
All right, John, thanks for calling in. That brings up a great point. Children are going to model the behavior of their parents. So, Jennifer Bristol, if you're wondering why your kids are inside all the time and they don't want to go outside, do you have to ask what are the parents doing also?
Absolutely, and this is something that we talk about, a lot. Even at the with school groups, even though we focus on getting the kids outdoors, it's really the magic happens when we can also include the family. And that family might be the parents, the grandparents, the aunts and uncles, whoever is engaged with those kids. And modeling that good behavior, I talk to parents all the time and I say, you put soccer on the schedule, you put dance lessons, you put all of the other, things that parents are trying to do to make sure that their children are successful, put nature on that calendar, make it a part of your daily life and your activity. And in saying that, not just for the kids, but also the parents. Parents do have a lot of fears. There, as Rich mentioned, those fears are they're real and should be valued. But at the same time, we have to do a better job with saying, it is okay to go play outside. That say yes to getting dirty once in a while. It's okay to let your children run around and play in a park and maybe get a little sweaty and maybe get a little tired. Those are all good things. So we have to just reinforce that again and again for the parents, and then also offer programming. That's one of the great things that our partners do so well across the state of Texas and even throughout the country. But offering programs that are geared towards children, but also then have that component that helps parents feel comfortable in the outdoors.
Richard Louv, author of Last Child in the Woods, Saving Our Children from Nature Deficit Disorder. I mean, Frisbee golf is great. I guess regular golf is good, too. But how much of are you promoting is just the unstructured, go outside, find yourself a stick, get in the dirt, and figure out your own game?
Well, I think the caller made a good point, is that, we all define nature a bit differently. And, the experience that he described is a great experience. But I think that what kids miss the most and what he's doing can be really a doorway into even more variety of nature experiences. And what kids miss the most is, in fact, this unstructured free play in nature. And it's very, very important that they have that. This independent play, is make-believe play, is the way that kids develop executive function. It's the voice inside you that says it's not a good idea to follow your buddies off the cliff. That's developed early in childhood through make-believe independent play. You're your own executive. You're creating your own world. That happens often in outdoor play when kids are building little forts at the end of the yard or when they're in the woods. Their imaginations get going. And we're taking that away, independent make-believe play, away from kids almost as quickly as we're taking away nature play, and those two are related. So independent play is extraordinarily important. I want to add that this issue of fear, of parental fear, I'm really careful, we all are, not to shame anybody for having that fear. I had it as a father. My wife and I, our sons did not have the kind of free-range childhood that we did. But we consciously took them outdoors. We consciously took them hiking and camping and fishing and all of that. One of the things that Children Nature Network and Jennifer have promoted around the country is the idea of family nature clubs. These are groups of multiple families that create a pool of families that they can dip into and say, anybody want to go to the park on Saturday and meet us there and go for a hike. So 2, 3, 5 families will show up, and they'll do it together. And there's perceived safety in numbers. The kids, oddly enough, in that kind of structured environment, have a lot of independent make-believe play. They're making up their own rules. They're playing hide-and-seek, often more than they would if they went with their parents, just with their parents, to that park. There are now hundreds of these family nature clubs all over the country. There's one in San Diego where I live that has only started about 3 or 4 years ago. It has over 1,800 families. So that's one way to answer that sense of fear that so many people have. I list a lot of other ways, by the way. We have those ideas on our website, the Children Nature Network. I also have another book out that's more of a workbook. It's called Vitamin N, and it has 500 ways that people and communities connect kids to nature. And San Antonio's in there, and so is Austin.
All right, so as I want to get you before you leave, one last question is, like, is the outside X factor, is it just being outside and having sunshine and being exposed to different types of germs and dirt and stuff, or is it just being outside and having just that, being able to activate all of your senses and having an opportunity to experience nature? Is that the critical thing?
Well, I think that, you know, there's soccer that is played on grass, and that's good, and that develops lots of things in kids. But there is something specific about an experience in nature, and that can be if you're in your backyard looking at bugs in the grass. It doesn't have to be Yosemite. But the research is showing that there is something we really don't understand about the impact of real nature experiences. And again, I define that fairly broadly. E.O. Wilson at Harvard came up with a hypothesis several years ago called the biophilia hypothesis. And biophilia, as he defines it, is our genetic propensity to have an affiliation with the rest of nature, that this is hardwired into human beings. We need this. And when we don't get this, we don't do so well. So I think it's still a mystery as to why it has this added effect. But it does for adults on physical exercise. They've done experiments with adults doing on treadmills and indoor gyms and compared what happens when they expend the same number of calories doing green exercise in nature. Both groups get better, but the people who are doing it in nature, their blood pressure gets even better. Their psychological well-being improves even better than just going to the gym if you exercise outdoors. So there's a lot we don't know yet about this. And that research is rolling in every month, more and more of it. And it all seems to point in the same direction. And it's something that the medical profession, by the way, including Dr. Stephen Pont in Austin, are paying real attention to. There are now pediatricians who are prescribing nature to families.
Prescribing nature to families. That's interesting. Richard Louv, thank you so much. Co-founder of the Children and Nature Network, author of Last Child in the Woods, Saving Our Children from Nature Deficit Disorder. We had to let you go, but our conversation will continue. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio 89.1. This is we're talking about nature deficit disorder, a phenomenon in which today's young folk are cooped up inside all the time. They're alienated from the outdoors. It's not a recognized medical condition, but it's more of a rallying cry, an observation with some growing scientific data that backs it up that says that many other problems that kids have today, like anxiety, ADHD, depression, other issues, could be connected to the fact that they don't get any time, hardly any time, outside in a natural world. They say the average child in America only spends 4 to 7 minutes playing outside on any given day. So what do you think about that? What are you going to do to get your kids outside? What about you? Don't you feel like you're missing nature out of your life? Maybe it would help deal with your stress level. We were speaking with Richard Louv before we had to let him go. He's the author of The Last Child in the Woods. But also we have Jennifer Bristol with us. She is the coordinator of Texas Children in Nature through the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department. And also with us is Todd Beasley, the director of programs for the San Antonio Botanical Garden. So Jennifer, we got some callers. Let's get Julie on the air. Julie, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to say following up on what your recent guest just said. It's just so much better than a pill. I have a daughter who has ADHD light, and so the outdoors is just, it's great, and I support that y'all are having this discussion. I'm also a volunteer with the Landa Gardens Conservancy, which is a four-acre park here in downtown San Antonio. And I just wrapped up May month where we do outside programming. And I just, it's such a great park to get outside in. And like I said, nature is so much better than what is so often prescribed as a pill for ADHD. So.
Yeah, well, Landa Gardens, Landa Park, that is certainly kind of, more people need to know about that. Not enough people get out there and sort of kick off their shoes and feel the dirt with their toes at a place like that.
You know, they don't. And we just, at May month, I had so many people. Every Saturday morning, we had free programming, and we were all outside. And so many people didn't know that that existed, about the library, that it was back there. And it's a four-acre urban park, and there's just, it's free. I love the botanical gardens. It's a great place, and I spent so much time there. But the Landa Gardens is an equally a great resource that's free, especially in May. We have a lot of free activities.
Julie, thank you for calling in. I appreciate that information. Jennifer Bristol with the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department, what do you think the X factor is and why getting outside for a child makes a difference? Is it just the sunshine and the dirt and the germs, or is it just the fact that they're not inside? What is it?
Sure. So there's, you know, I mean, that's a pretty broad question. But, you know, the real magic happens when kids are outdoors and allowed to explore nature on their own terms. And Richard Louvre talked a little bit about, you know, free play or unstructured play. And, you know, that can take place in a fairly small space, natural environment with a child. You know, he mentioned that children are interested in playing with the pill bug on the ground versus, you know, maybe the Grand Vista at the Teton National Park. All of those parts are important. But we have to also think of, you know, that nature is in our own backyard, that it's down the street, that it is on the school campus, that it's on the church campus, that it is all around us at all times. And that's one of the things that Texas Children of Nature really focuses on. And we do that through our website, which is Nature Rocks Texas. There's Nature Rocks San Antonio as well. And that lists all of the parks that are in any given area. I think San Antonio, we now have almost 400 green spaces that are listed on the website. And those are nature centers, parks, you know, they can even just be the nature-based activities to get people outdoors. And so that can happen at all levels. The San Antonio Botanical Gardens is a wonderful space for people to also have that experience. So it can happen in an urban area, and that's where people, especially kids, begin to build that confidence and that trust of the outdoors, so that then when they go have a larger experience, maybe at Government Canyon State Park or a national park or, you know, another state park within Texas, their experience is more, it's a richer experience at that point because they have the trust and the confidence, and they're not having to build that in that situation. They've already learned it. It's already part of their life. Richard Louvre talked about E.O. Wilson and the idea of biophilia, and that we have this love of nature. Children innately love nature, especially when it comes to wildlife. And so, you know, letting them have that relationship, letting them build that on their own terms is something that is really crucial and a message that we get to parents very often.
Back to the phone lines, 210-614-8980, if you want to join our conversation as we talk about how we can reverse society's nature deficit. Diane is on the line. And Diane, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I had to smile at the your author's comment about the fort, building a fort. My brother always had a fort in the backyard. my comment is, I think kids have too many choices now. You know, little Johnny, do you want to stay home or do you want to go outside and play? What's he going to do? He's going to stay home and play on his computer. Sometimes as parents, we have to say, we're going to go do this. My kids used to really balk about going to anything that was, you know, a surprise for them. And I used to take them to Brazos Bend State Park outside of Houston. And when they went the first time, they were so amazed. I mean, they saw alligators. They saw baby alligators. They saw birds they had never seen before. They saw giant centipedes. They were so happy. And the next time we went, they were excited to go. And I think that, you know, the thing about going outside for grown-ups and adults is that we need to realize, and we forget because we get so computerized and, you know, we get so locked into our lives now. I think that we've forgotten there's something outside of ourselves, and our children need to know that. And we need to inspire them to look and see there's something outside of yourself and your phone and your computer. That's all.
Okay, well, Diane, that's a lot. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. So kids, you know, opening up, lighting up when they see some of these amazing things that are brand new to them because they've never been exposed to it. But Todd Beasley, do you see that sometimes at the botanical gardens when kids show up?
Absolutely. I think what we're forgetting to mention, though, is that there are cultures within cultures, and that everybody's accessibility to the outdoors is not the same, and our definitions of nature is not the same. And so when we compare, you know, people to say, hey, why don't you go outside and play, not all families have that opportunity of just going outside and playing in a natural setting based on socioeconomic status. And so for us, when we have various diverse groups coming, it's amazing that the first thing that comes out of children's mouths when they see certain aspects of a garden is the oohing and aahing, which goes back to the biophilia conversation of that innate evolutionary piece that's kind of been lost through the ages. And I think Richard did a good job of talking about biophilia. We 99% of the time that man's been on Earth, he was a hunter-gatherer, and we transitioned to a civilian world, and that's when we started losing that. So we have to find a way to really bring that back out. But going back to that whole point, it's the cultures within cultures and the accessibility to nature and our definitions of natures are all it's different across the board. And so what, you know, the Caucasian population and the middle class and upper class might have accessibility to is so much different than our diverse lower socioeconomic status folks. And that's where we, part of the answer needs to come in play, is that we have to do a better job of bringing nature to people versus always anticipating and expecting people to come to nature. So for us at the San Antonio Botanical Garden and for other folks like Jennifer, we have to try to bring nature to diverse populations and allowing them a better way to access it.
Okay, another caller, Linda. And Linda, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Great, thank you. I was calling because my husband and I, when we were growing up, we played outside, but mainly in the streets, and we really didn't know much about, like, camping or being out in, like, wilderness areas. We were kind of, you know, city folk. So when we had our child, we didn't know really what to do with him as far as what we wanted to get out into nature, but we didn't know how. So we found the Texas Outdoor Family through the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department, and we used them to kind of teach us how to camp, and they provided us with all of the supplies, and they brought us, you know, we used their tents and their camping stoves and their lanterns, and all we had to do was really show up with food and clothing, and it was really inexpensive, and they scheduled activities for, like, kayaking and geocaching and fishing. They taught us how to fish, which we didn't know how to do. So it gave us a good introduction. We did several of those. We did about four before we actually went out and bought our own tent and started to venture out into nature on our own. But they gave us a really good, you know, guide to kind of how to do it. And then they made us feel safe out there. So that by the we were comfortable then taking him on our own and being individual campers. So I highly recommend that as a way to kind of get out there. The Texas Parks and Wildlife Department do a great job of really exposing people who are novice campers to camping.
Linda, thank you for that call. Jennifer Bristol, you want to pick it up from there?
I do, yeah. And one of my favorite programs in the world is the Texas Outdoor Family Program that's offered by Texas Parks and Wildlife. And it is the quintessential, you know, opportunity to, you know, get young families out there, get new families out there, introduce them to the outdoors, and get them inspired to go enjoy it on their own, and equip them with that, the knowledge and skills. I will also add that Texas Chill and Nature is hosting our first annual conference in November in San Antonio. So November 7th and 8th in San Antonio. And so, you know, this would be a great place to learn about all the different programs that are going on throughout the state.
We'll find out more about that when we come back from this quick break. We're talking about reversing society's nature deficit. This is The Source. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. We're talking about the nature deficit disorder. It's affecting children, it's affecting you. You know, how can you get out of the office, out of the house, experience nature? It is the most easy way to do some stress relief. There, you don't have to take anything. It's just, you don't have to buy anything. It's out there waiting for you. So how are you going to get your kids to spend their summers outside, away from the screens? How can we change many of the habits that we have that are locked into the cubicles? Give us a call. We're open to suggestions, 210-614-8980. Well, Todd Beasley, I mean, do you think that part of the problem is, you know, that adults are too work-driven? We got to take those vacation days. We got to be able to put things aside and go outside.
Absolutely. I think time is one of the biggest logistics for many folks to visit natural settings, including the garden. And so we have these overly structured lifestyle. I know Richard already talked about the lifestyle of the kids, but we're forgetting the lifestyle of the families too, and adults. And so we are missing opportunities themselves by just simply not making time. I think that kind of domino goes into a conversation about education, is that we have STEAM and STEM, which are wonderful curricular outlets for teaching kids about the outdoors, but the way that we are actually teaching it is not always the best approach. We're pushing everybody to go inside of a lab to use technology and microscopes to try to figure out what's going on in the natural world without actually taking the students out into the natural world. And so that kind of goes into what the Botanical Garden, as well as folks like the zoo and our partners and Texas Children and Nature, what we're trying to do is to really show that, you know, to understand the natural world, you have to be out in the natural world versus trying to understand it through technology inside a laboratory. And so I think that's one of the great things, the wonderful benefits about the Botanical Garden, is that we have a lot of programs that are STEAM and STEM-based driven that really teach kids the fundamental aspects about understanding the natural world, but you got to make time for it, and the teachers have to make time for it, and that is one of the biggest constraints. We can bypass the curricular connections, we can bypass money and the funding. There are many grants out there. It's really pushing yourself and making the time and having that energetic and passionate teacher or family member or parent that will actually say, you know, enough, let's give ourselves a nature prescription.
All right, Meredith is called in. Meredith, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm director of a local program here, and it's actually a nationwide effort too, called Free Forest School San Antonio. And we have regular weekly meetups. We gear our activities, which is free play, at ages 0 to 6, and we have older kids that join in too. Our mission is to empower parents and provide young children with meaningful, reoccurring experiences in nature. We believe that free play and exploration results in happy and healthy and resilient children who are ready for school when it's time. And, you know, I would just urge anyone who's out there listening, you can look us up. It's Free Forest School San Antonio, and we have a lot of fun. One of the best things is seeing how kids get so comfortable after week after week after week of going to these same natural areas. And my daughter just has a special name for a certain grove of trees, or, you know, this or that. And it's really great to get the kids out in nature.
All right, Meredith, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Let me go straight to another caller with Rocchio. Rocchio, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, it's Rocio.
Okay.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I just wanted to let you know, I'm actually a teacher, and I actually am a gardening teacher, and we actually are lucky enough to have a nature trail, several acres at our school, and so I take the kids out, and the kids love it. Every time I go pick them up, the first thing they say is, can we go on a nature walk? Can we go on a hike? And that's their absolute favorite thing to do. So it does. It's you go outside and you give them some unstructured time. You teach them some things about nature, the trees and what's out there. And I think it really helps them. And some kids that I have some difficulties, but anytime they're with me and they're outside, they're fine. So I just wanted to call and let you know, yes, I definitely agree with that.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Todd Beasley.
I love that. I love that concept. It takes a very special teacher to be able to take kids out into the garden and or a natural setting and be comfortable with it. And I think that's one of the constraints and barriers that we have is that our teachers, like our parents, are not prepared adequately to go out into natural settings. So we have these barriers that the health of the teacher and their inability to properly supervise kids out in natural settings while working and playing with the kids. And so we have to get out of these habits of just standing and watching kids. We have to be involved with them first and foremost to develop their comfort levels while developing our comfort level. So it takes a very, very special teacher to be able to safely and have fun with kids in a natural setting. And so I applaud her efforts.
Another caller, Alfonso. Welcome to The Source. Alfonso, you're on the air.
Hello. My name is, you can call me Al. I'm actually a teacher at San Antonio College Early Childhood Center. And also a board member of the San Antonio College, or the San Antonio Association for the Education of Young Children. It's affiliate of the National Association for the Education of Young Children. I just wanted to make comment on what is happening in the early childhood community. In the state of Texas, we're required to have children that are in childcare, full day childcare. We're required to have them outside for an hour each day. Doesn't sound like a lot, but it, at least we get them out for an hour in the morning, and we get them out for an hour in the afternoon in our facility. So we try to get them out there more than an hour. We have one of our state conferences is actually coming to San Antonio, and there's going to be a great focus on the joy of play is what it's called, and it's going to focus on outdoor play. One of our centers here in San Antonio, the University Presbyterian Child Care Center, they actually went through a national program on outdoor play and nature play. And so their facility is all about, when you go in some of their classrooms, there's no plastic objects in their classroom. It's all nature-based. Our facility is going through that process as well. I know pre-K for SA is also going through that process of, as well as some of their classrooms are going all natural, and they're also converting their playgrounds to all natural settings. So I just wanted to make comment on some of the stuff that's going on in the early childhood community.
That's great, Alfonso. Thank you for your call. So Jennifer Bristol, coordinator with Texas Children in Nature, how early do you start?
Sure, and I really appreciate the caller's work there for what he's doing with early childhood. That's fantastic. Thank you. From age zero, I mean, that's really when that relationship with nature can start.
But it's never too late to start then also.
It's never too late. You're absolutely right. And as I mentioned earlier, one of the things I enjoy about, working in this field is everybody comes that comes into the movement or comes to these realizations is there for their own reasons. Some people use nature as a place for therapy, especially for children. That's becoming more and more popular. But to kind of get back to the early childhood, yes, child care centers are required to get their children outdoors for an hour every day. And that's fantastic. That's a great start. What we're focusing on is then how do we design spaces that help them have more of a contact with nature, and then also design those spaces for active play. And one of the stories that I like to share is I have a friend that lived down in the Rio Grande Valley and took their her child to a daycare center. They had a very small space for them to get outdoors. She goes and picks up her kid, and the child is very upset and says, "What happened?" And they said, "Well, they cut down the tree." So she asks, she says, "Why did they cut down the tree?" "Well, the sticks, the kids were playing with the sticks." So then she goes a few weeks later and she picks up her child again, and her child's in a horrible mood. And she asks the caregiver, you know, what's going on? And she says, "Oh, well, we haven't been able to go outside. It's too hot and there's no shade." So they cut down the tree, there's no shade, and now they're not going outside. So these are kind of, you know, these are stories that rise to the top for us to look at, okay, where can we start that system change so that we help people understand, you know, that the tree is good. Playing with sticks is good. Play is the work of children. And that's our message that we really, that we focus on. And that outdoor play is really where so much of the brain development happens on a level that simply cannot happen indoors. And as Richard Louv mentioned before, there's all sorts of research that supports that. And that connection with living and growing things, you know, we are a living and growing thing as well. And children recognize that. They have that innateness with that. And so we have to afford them the opportunities to build and foster that.
Jennifer Bristol is the coordinator for the Texas Children in Nature through the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department. Todd Beasley, we didn't get a chance to talk about the Children's Garden at the San Antonio Botanical Gardens, which is an awesome program. Opens twice a year for kids coming in. They can get a lot and they can grow there with the help from the botanical gardens. And that's just a wonderful program that you have over there.
It's a wonderful relationship with Texas A&M. It's 16 weeks, two times a year. And it's a commitment. And that's one of the selling points that brought me to San Antonio, was seeing the vibrant interaction between family members in those plots. You know,
you get great vegetables out of them.
It's amazing. It is a very processed ordeal that I cannot say anything about David Rodriguez, except that, you know, he's one of the most fabulous instructors I've seen in that regard.
All right.
It's wonderful.
Get outside and play. That's the takeaway from today's program. How can we reverse society's nature deficit? This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.